Not to fade out on you in the middle of the program. Just bear with me. Like I said, this is new to me. Pizza? Really? It's not like I was Garmin down Mars bars. Or is that Mar bars? Mar... Is what... Mar bar? Is that what... I don't know. But welcome to this Tuesday edition of The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. And we call what we do here Conversation Radio. I hope you will feel welcome and free in availing yourself of it. It is certainly here, but, well, it's not conversation if I'm filibustering, okay? Now, let's get this out of the way. We were looking, well, we were doing, trying to do our evening fundraising last night, and we're not very successful at it. We had a little bit of help, but not much. So that puts us in a bit of a spot this evening as the week begins. Tonight, optimally about 17 thrifty 250 contributions. 17 people sending $10 apiece, contributing $10, gifting $10. Via PayPal will keep us on an even keel for our February fundraising goal. So about $170. That way we can, yeah. So just to let you know, it would be much appreciated. And by the way, just a reminder for those of you who don't like having your fees eaten up by PayPal, if you just simply log into PayPal and send to bobkincaid@gmail.com, that's the account that PayPal is tied to, the Horn PayPal account, and choose personal and gift, you will not see your gift eaten up in transfer fees. I know that means a lot to people. So there, it's said, it's out of the way, and here, let's hope I can just shut up about it. Because, golly Moses, what a day, what an evening we have ahead of us. I mean, I don't recall a stack of weirdness and right-wingery quite like this in some time. Is it because it is Valentine's Day? I don't know. And by the way, a very happy Lupercalia to you. A very happy Juno Februa to you. Februa? Is that where this month, this icky month comes from? You know, this was the last month of the year in the old Roman calendar, because the new year would start in March. You have January, named after Janus, Janus, the god of two faces. And then you have February, named after the celebration of Juno Februa. Februa meaning chaste or pure, or in this case, purifier, if I understand correctly. Chaste? Huh. How interesting. But, of course, this is Valentine's Day, named after a saint of indeterminate origin and indeterminate reality and indeterminate miraculousness. But, as usual, it was another one of those holidays that had a churchy overlay put on top of a pagan celebration, because the 13th to the 15th of Februa, in addition to being the celebration of Juno Februa, well, it was the Lupercalia. And I'm not sure about the etymology of Lupercalia, because, you know, lupus is wolf. And, of course, Rome was historically or legendarily founded by Romulus and Remus, who were foundlings who were suckled by a she-wolf. The festival went on, it goes way back to pre-Roman times when there were just folks sort of wandering and grazing their sheep and so forth back and forth on those seven hills. The Palatine, the Capitoline, the Aventine, the Janiculum. You get the idea. Now, some of the sources say that Lupercalia shows some evidence of being connected to the ancient Greek festival of Arcadian Lycaea. Lucos, wolf, Latin, lupus, wolf. So I was right. And there's a lot of dancing around with the music by Zamfir, the king of the panpipes. But happy Lupercalia to you all. I wish you great fertility if that is what you seek. And no, I will not play The Night Chicago Died on this program. You can't make me. Okay? So, yeah, happy Valentine's Day. I hope whatever you want in love and relationships and happiness is yours as you tap into the ancient sources of whatever it is. So that having been said, and having done the fundraising reminder, let's get busy. Okay, let's get busy after one more program note. Okay, two. The first one being that there will be probably periodic silences again during the program tonight as I mute the microphone so as not to sneeze all over you. Two, no show Friday. I will be on the road, returning home Sunday evening, so all is well. Ferg and I are taking to the highways and making a run south, and we will be back in time for More End Monday next week. No show Friday. I don't know, John Fox, are you out there? Would you like to host a Friday on the front porch, brother? If so, sing out. John has some new equipment that needs testing, don't you, John? Yes, you do. Yay! But third program announcement. I'm still working on getting the toll-free service back, trying to find something that's price conscious and cost effective, so that we can restore all that without a whole bunch more to do or ado. But for now, the dial-in lines are strictly what they were, and that is the direct dial line, area code 304-658-3333. 304-658-3333 doesn't spell a damned thing. But if you can forget 3333, well, I mean, come on, it's 3333. Now, like I said, we've got a bunch to get into tonight. Goodbye, Lupercalia. More End Monday is over, and it is not quite yet prayer meeting Wednesday. And yet we've got stories that would fit perfectly in either or both at the same time. Let's start in Kendall County, Illinois. This story occurred last week, and it's making its rounds in the media. A pregnant woman in Kendall County, Illinois, stands in line at the local Wally World. You know, the checkout line, where everyone stands around with unpleasant faces and sort of sullen doer, right? She's waiting. To check her items out. Seems straightforward, doesn't it? Except for, you know, you're always forgetting something when you're in line. I do it all the time. I feel bad about it. But, geez, you don't want to just loop back and go back all the... No, so she sends her husband off to grab whatever it is that was forgotten. We're talking about a couple here, a married couple in Kendall County, Illinois, Nicole Thurmond and her husband, Jason. The town is Oswego. Oh, God, please, not another indeterminate vowel. Oswego, Illinois. Oswego, Illinois. Oswego, Illinois. Kendall County, Illinois. And she's waiting to check out, and this guy comes up to her. She's pregnant, mind you. And starts giving her a rasher of grief. Walks up to her and says, "Don't you know how to count? You're holding up the whole store." Well, Jason Thurmond came back with whatever it is that had been forgotten, and here he sees this guy up in his wife's face, screaming at her, and carrying on. I mean, really? Really? We've gotten to that authoritarian place where cranky Wally Worlders are counting each other's items in the basket. You're holding up the whole store! So, being a husband of a pregnant wife, seeing another guy up in her face screaming at her like some sort of godforsaken lunatic, Mr. Thurmond came up and pushed the man away from her. Just another day in Wally World, right? Oh, yeah, this is the part where, "Oh, Bob, that's a total BS story. You mean to tell me the police were called and they arrested Mr. Thurmond because..." No. The police were already on the scene. Because the police were the guy who was screaming at Nicole Thurmond. Officer Craig French! And when Jason Thurmond shoved him away from his wife, Officer Craig French drew down. Yeah. Here in the land of the free, in the home of the brave, where we are free, according to the Second Amendment, to keep and arm bears, Officer Craig French was protecting and serving the people of Wally World by drawing a handgun on a man trying to get him off of his pregnant wife. That is when Officer Craig French allegedly says to Mr. Jason Thurmond, "Are you on welfare?" I guess this would be the appropriate point in the story to point out that Mrs. Thurmond is white and Mr. Thurmond is not. Nicole Thurmond at that point is terrified, and she simply turns around, turns her back to this gun-wielding maniac. She said, "Because I was afraid if the gun did go off, at least it hits my backside and not in the front where my baby is." But yes, Jason Thurmond was arrested, and he was, in fact, charged with misdemeanor battery after Officer Not So Friendly drew down on him after Officer Not So Friendly had already committed an assault against Mr. Thurmond's pregnant wife. Are you on welfare? It's another one of those moments of right-wing cognitive dissonance. How do you sort this? Well, we believe in life. We're pro-life. How do you feel about if you're pro-life, how do you feel about a gun being pointed at a pregnant woman by a guy in plain clothes at the Wally World. Well, that's his God-given right under the Constitution to keep the armed bearers. Our forefathers done went to war and fought the and fought the Germans and the French and the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor and Lewis and Clark saved the American Revolution and that's why we gotta let people carry guns to the Wally World. But we're pro-life. Don't you know how to count? You're holding up the whole store. Well, what do you got, lady? You got 6 cans of formula, or do you have 5? Well, what I want to know is, do you feel lucky, punk? You know, question, again, and I'm sorry to constantly be calling on you, but question to our international friends, our international members of the Horn family outside the territorial confines of the land of the free and the home of the brave. Do you guys get these stories in your local news, too? I mean, really. If you're in the UK, if you're in Australia, if you're in Japan, China, India, Italy... Okay, we'll leave Greece out for the time. Germany. Anywhere. Do you get stories about a multiracial couple trying to get through the checkout line in their local store and being accosted by an off-duty police officer wielding a damned firearm over the number of items in a pregnant lady's buggy? Do you? Or is this another example of the profoundly dysfunctional nature of this really weird, screwed-up country?
You can love it or leave it, Bob.
Mr. and Mrs. Thurman have filed a formal complaint, and that's the only way that anybody even found out about Officer French.
French? Bring Buffy and Jody in here. Take them down to the park and pip them for a little bit.
No, not that Mr. French. This, because, like I said, this is going to be a very, very busy night. This ain't the onlyest story. I reckon it's too much to expect Wally World would, but then again, he was a, what, off-duty cop? What'd he do, reach and get it out of his boot? But it ain't just Wally World. I mean, I've told you the story before about going up to get a jar of peanut butter up to the little store on the hill that has subsequently burnt down because... Did I tell you this story? Little grocery store up on top of the hill has been there for, jeebus, 40 years. And I used to go up there, and it was really harrowing and horrifying because I'd go up for a jar of pickles, thing of peanut butter... roll of paper towels, you know, just, it's right up the closest thing to me. It was quick, it was easy. I'd be standing there in line next to a guy with a loaf of Wonder Bread under one arm and his hand resting on a 45 semi-automatic in case he had to take down some Muslim terrorist that wanted to, that hated his freedom to buy Wonder Bread. That's just creepy. But then there's Starbucks. I think we've talked about this in the past. Starbucks is firearm friendly. Because, you know, that's what you want. You want a guy with a deadly handgun strapped on his hip, sitting in there and pounding back a couple of double caramel macchiato extra espresso shot lattes, and getting a real case of the yips while he's all gunned up because he's a proud, masculine, he-man American. Well, there is a campaign going on by the National Gun Victims Action Council. They're trying to organize a boycott of Starbucks, with which I am happy to participate. because Starbucks won't. Starbucks has the right under federal law, state law, whatever, to prohibit people because it's business. Remember how the right wing's always saying,
we don't need the federal government intruding on the rights of business.
Well, as a business owner, you have the right to post something on the door that says, don't bring your stinking goddamn gun in my store. Or something perhaps more or less inflammatory.
What'd you say? Lock and load.
Starbucks won't say it. Starbucks hasn't said it. Elliot Feynman is the National Gun Victims Action Council's CEO. Elliot Feynman says Starbucks allowing guns to be carried in thousands of their stores significantly increases everyone's risk of being a victim of gun violence. So there is now an open letter to Starbucks circulating that says, today, we ask you to take the next logical step in corporate responsibility and leadership. Join Disney, IKEA, Pete's, California Pizza Kitchen, and other chains that ain't Walmart, to ban handguns and other firearms in your stores. It is a matter of providing an inclusive, supportive, and safe work environment.
Somebody throw that Kumbaya singer's tambourine up in the air. I bet I can put three rounds for it in it before it hits the ground.
Now that you've made the corporate decision to sell beer and wine in your stores, the issue of public safety is heightened. Guns and alcohol don't mix. Try telling that to them down Tennessee way. As far back as 2010, 56% of people surveyed said they would rather that Starbucks didn't let gun-toting macho bully boys carry their shooting arms into the store. Maybe they can, I mean, you know, they just put a few pegs outside like the Wild West and hang your guns up before you come in and get that double espresso shot Breva. I'm a little down on my sissy coffee terms, but all I know is I don't feel safe with a cup in my hand if a gun's not in the other one. Not done. Okay? Not done. What else? Well, I'll tell you. For this story, we go to state of Florida. Now, remember, the state of Florida is one of those states that was chiseled and connived by the National Republican Rifle Association. Guns, they're what's for dinner. Yeah, I'm going to be doing this voice a lot until my head starts feeling better, because it's one of the few voices I can do that sounds even better all stopped up and plugged up in concreted sinuses than it does if I'm north. Guns. No, Florida. Florida. And Pinellas County, Florida in particular. And the Grace Connection Church. Now, you know, with a name like Grace Connection Church, it's not the Grace Connection Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox, Assembly of God. I don't know, maybe it is. The Grace Connection Church sounds like one of those that has, you know, big screen TVs and better band equipment than most super groups. You know, a mega church, very charismatic, very much probably a cult of personality for the minister. Well, they're praying. Praying for a miracle down to Grace Connection Church. Now, like I said, Florida is one of those states where if somebody scares you because of the NRA's doing, if somebody scares you, you have the right to kill them dead and claim that they scared you and therefore you killed them dead and you can't be prosecuted. Yeah, Florida. It was at the Grace Connection Church where the congregation is praying for a miracle. I hope they get it. I really hope they get it. The pastor there is Tim Kelly. And the praying being done is for his 20-year-old daughter. Her name is Hannah Grace Kelly. Looking at a photograph of her here, and she is a lovely, vivacious-looking young woman. And I hope she gets to continue being one. But the signs aren't good. Because for some reason or another, the Grace Connection Church felt like it needed an armed security guard on its premises. Why? And this debate really does theologically go back to the whole question of why Peter used the sword, lopped off the legionnaire's ear. Jesus picked the ear back up, grew it right back onto the legionnaire, and said, "Put thy sword away. Put down thy sword." Yeah, you remember the story. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. Well, regardless, something motivated the Grace Connection Church to have a security guard, and that security guard's name is Moises Zambrana. Moises Zambrana. And you know, it says in the book of Matthew that when you need to pray to your Father in heaven, you need to go into a closet and pray and come back out and not be like the Pharisees who pray loudly in the streets, for they have their reward. Apparently, Moises Zambrana heard the part about the closet, but he missed the part about the praying. Because Moises Zambrana, instead of going into the closet to pray, went into a closet to show two other men the safety features on his 9mm handgun. And he was handling the handgun real well. He'd popped the clip. It was real safe and everything, except for the fact that because he was a security guard at the Grace Connection Church, he had one already in the chamber for carry purposes, just in case, and in the process of showing the safety features in the closet to his two pals, he pulled the trigger. He pulled the trigger, and being a 9mm handgun, at something approaching in excess of 1,700 feet per second muzzle velocity, a round exited the muzzle of the 9mm handgun, ripped through the walls and into the brains of Hannah Grace Kelly, 20 years old, there worshiping the Creator of the universe at Grace Connection Church. In an attempt to get something in the way of understanding for this, a reporter asked Tony Deal, who is a member of the Grace Connection Church, about it. And he said, "Well, there's a little concern that, you know, it happened, but it was accidental. I mean, nobody was intended. Nobody came to shoot anybody. It just happened." News story I'm looking at says, authorities say that Zambrana has a permit for the weapon and did not break any laws. No charges have been filed. Nothing to do now but pray. On their Facebook page, Pastor Tim Kelly said, "Please pray the swelling to go down in her brain." I read this story and I wept. I wept. How do you explain or justify any of this? Does faith mean nothing? You know, there wasn't a single handgun in the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist congregation when a man named Atkinson barged in there with a shotgun to take him out some liberals some years back. He had written a lengthy, rambling manifesto and had been an almost daily acolyte of Bill O'Reilly, a reader of Bernie Goldberg, a listener of Sean Hannity, perhaps the Savage Wiener. And he killed a couple of people, but before he could harm anybody else, unarmed Unitarians took him down, disarmed him, and saved the remainder of that congregation from that mad right-winger. Why would you have in a tabernacle dedicated to the worship of the Prince of Peace, why would you have a security guard with a firearm? Were I a minister, which I'm glad I'm not, I wouldn't tolerate it. I would not tolerate it. Am I going to make any jokes? The story we started with could very well have been the story of a pregnant woman gunned down in a Walmart in Oswego, Illinois. We don't know how long it will be before the news wires click and clatter or hum and ding to tell us of the story, to relay to us the story of some god-awful massacre and mayhem at some Starbucks because Starbucks was too afraid of the gun lobby to suggest that maybe people ought to be able to have a cup of coffee without wondering when they were going to get shot up by some maniac who had wandered armed by the tolerance and permission of Starbucks into the establishment. And, I don't know, didn't like his coffee. Interesting that there's no request to pray for Moises Zambrana. I reckon he'd need some praying for. I don't think I could stand myself. You know, if you were listening to this program last night, you heard our friend Jim opine as to the gravity of handling firearms and the profound responsibility that goes with it. But in the state of Florida, hell, maybe everybody but Juanita and Guy James have one. Because everybody's afraid. We are the coward nation. Now, before the right wing gets its maiden forms in a twist, they just called us cowards. We are the coward nation. C-O-W-E-R-E-D. We cower. We live in dread fear of what come next. Jim asked me a question. What do the letters on the signpost read? Use of deadly force authorized? Our buddy the angry architect down in Australia says, this is one of those moments where us in Australia say, only in America, sorry. Not half as sorry as I am, angry. Ron in Raleigh says, I know what Officer Friendly said in Illinois. Did he say, you respect my authority? A nation of Cartmans with guns. Hey, there's a good idea. I don't know if these guys do that. I thought they were just mobile, Andy, but heck, it's worth calling them.
Credo. I thought they just did mobile phones, though. Maybe they don't. Bill in Cleveland, two emails back to back, just subject lines. The first one says, as we go marching through Illinois. The second one says, as we go marching through Prussia. I think you know what Bill's about there. Jeanette in Minnesota noting, right-wingers are also boycotting Starbucks because they support gay marriage. Now what am I going to do? Go to Caribou Coffee. That's what I did when we were in Minneapolis. There was right there by the Sheraton where we stayed. Went over to Caribou Coffee every morning to get Agnes her morning cup of joe, because, well, weren't much in the way of good coffee available inside the hotel. And, of course, now I will get 15 emails saying, well, damn, Bob, didn't you know that Caribou Coffee eats live babies for morning? And I probably do. Andy noting, did you see the pictures from Greece? One of the first of 17 buildings to go up in flames was the Starbucks in Athens. It ranks right up there with the five banks that went up in the conflagration. A shout out to the Greeks. I'm sure Reverend Billy Talon, would look on with amazement. You won't hear it from our corporate media, but working people around the globe aren't real fond of our rapacious form of capitalism. It didn't look too firearm-friendly in Athens. Yeah, Sandra sent me some photographs last night, and they were stunning, just stunning. Ron and Raleigh. Considering the Florida shoot first law, does this mean I can go to the Sunshine State, claim that I was frightened by a fat right-wing talk show host that truly scares the bejesus out of me, and get away with it? It's almost too good to be true. For liability purposes, neither the host nor anyone associated with the Head On Radio Network will advocate a positive answer to that query. However, it is hard to note, or hard not to note, that in the state of Florida, anyone who scares you may be blown away. That's what the NRA wanted. That's what the NRA got. And I find those fat, right-wing, bloviating, OxyContin-addicted right-wing gas bags pretty terrifying myself. David in Tennessee, subject line, mad right-winger. Yes, Bob, mad. Not mad like crazy, but mad like angry. Angry because Billo told him damned well better be mad about his loss of his country. You know, like we're taking our country back. That kind of mad, Bob. Furious, yes. This from Clayton. Nobody's noticed in the local press the teenager that was recently killed by police in New York City. I think the only people that really noticed it were Occupy Something in New York City. I don't know about the story. Somebody maybe will help out. It would sort of fit. But we're not done. We're not done. Yeah, if you're the praying kind, pray. Pray for Hannah Grace Kelly. If you're not the praying kind, hope. Hope that she gets well, that she survives, that she has a meaningful life ahead of her yet with those 20 short years she has thus far lived. And hope that somewhere along the way, this nation will find some sanity so that preachers will, and deacons and governing councils will no longer think that it's necessary for churches to have armed guards inside them. But it all sort of comes together with this. Now, I got to give credit where credit is due. I was sitting quietly after the show last night listening to Malloy.
because, you know, Malloy's on from 9 to midnight. My good buddy Rick Smith is now on from 3 to 6. So it's just a perfect storm of progressive programming from 3 p.m. all the way to midnight. So I was listening to Malloy. You're really glad you didn't hear that one. I was listening to Malloy, and a guy calls in from, lo and behold, West By God, Virginia. My pink little ears perk up whenever I hear a fellow hillbilly daring to speak out into the public space. And he told Malloy about this wildly viral video that has been that was put up on YouTube. And I went and gave it a watch and a listen. And I showed it to Agnes, who was aghast. Now, I'm going to run the audio from this, and it takes a little bit of time, but it's worthwhile. You remember a couple of months back when we did the story about the judge in Texas who beat the daylights out of his gifted piano playing child over something like a music download or a file? No, it was a video game download. Remember that story? Well, this guy kind of reminds me of that, only different. Let's set the scene. He's out in some sort of a backyard. It's probably some sort of not quite fully developed housing subdivision or something, but there's a lot of open space around him. The trees are gray and sparse except for the evergreens. The grass is green and clumpy except for the brown spaces. He's sitting in an Adirondack chair with his video camera facing him. He's got some sort of roll-up canvas cowboy hat, collapsible, on his head. He's wearing blue jeans, a gray T-shirt, and over that a checkered sort of casual long-sleeve shirt. No coat. Tells you a little bit about where he is. He's honking on a cigarette. He's got a piece of paper in his hand, and he set up his video camera to look right at him. The name of this video on YouTube is Facebook Parenting for the Troubled Teen. Now, you know what? You may listen to this and say, you know what? The man's right. Or you may be as horrified as I was. And, of course, you are free to comment either way. You know the both the phone number, 304-658-3333, and the email address, Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. So we're gonna listen to this. Now, this is offered as parenting advice. This isn't offered as, this is how I dealt with the problem. This is offered as parenting advice. As in, this is the right way to do things. Okay? So pay attention.
Good afternoon. It's February 7th, 2012. This is for my daughter, Hannah. And more importantly, for all her friends on Facebook who thought that her little rebellious post was cute. And for all you parents out there that think your, you know, kids don't post bad things on Facebook, well, I want to read you one. I took off my daughter's Facebook wall. She thought she'd be smart by blocking her parents from being able to see it. Hannah, you were grounded for about 3 months for doing something very similar to this. And I would have thought, with a father that works in IT for a living, you'd have better sense than to do it again. But I just spent about 6 hours yesterday fixing your computer for you, upgrading it for you. Spent about a...
Okay, we will continue, but I want to point out, I'm guessing, I don't know the particulars, I haven't looked them up. I'm sure they're out there, I'm sure someone can find them and send them to me. But I'm guessing, and I will ask the other experts in the audience, you know who you are, Anybody want to care to guess what state this guy's in based on the way he's talking? Because I'm thinking Texas. I'm thinking Texas. Just based on what I'm hearing in the dialect. Now, just to recap, apparently this father has some grief with his 15-year-old daughter over something that she has posted on Facebook. So instead of going to his daughter, he is going to respond to her on YouTube. I don't know. I'm thinking a parenting class is in order.
$130 on software. And today, I run across a post on your Facebook page that you didn't think I'd be able to see. So since you want to hide it from everyone, I'm going to share it with everybody. This is called To My Parents, by the way. To My Parents.
Now, before he gets into Hannah's letter, oddly enough, it's another Hannah, isn't it? Here's Hannah struggling for her life with a bullet wound in the back of her head in Pinellas County, Florida. And there's Hannah, the supposedly rebellious 15-year-old, whom Daddy is about to publicly humiliate.
I'm not your damn slave. It's not my responsibility to clean up your shit. We have a cleaning lady for a reason. Her name is Linda, not Hannah. If you want coffee, get off your ass and make it yourself. If you want a garden, shovel the fertilizer yourself. Don't sit back on your ass and watch me do it. If you walk in the house and get mud all over the floor that I just cleaned, be my guest. But clean it up after you're done getting shit everywhere. I'm tired of picking up after you. You tell me at least once a day that I need to get a job. I love this part. You could just pay me for all the shit that I do around the house. Seriously? Are you kidding me? I'll give that in a minute. Every day when I get home from school...
Now, let's be clear. It sounds like our 15-year-old princess here really does need to... Well, there needs to be... You know, 15-year-olds need boundaries. And they need structure. But boundaries and structure, those are... words that psychological and social sociology like to use, and you know, I'll bet you our good friend horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner could. Wouldn't I love to be listening to this right now with Rick Goodner on the other end of the line? Not that I'm conjuring Rick or anything, but let's go back. Yeah, so Hannah's a bubble off plum, but she's certainly no. She's not a little Miss Manson or anything, by any stretch of the imagination. Well, just listen to her letter.
I have to do dishes, clean the countertops, all the floors, make all the beds, do the laundry, and get the trash. I'm not even going to mention all the work I do around your clinic. And if I don't do all that every day, I get grounded. You know how hard it is to keep up with chores and schoolwork? It's freaking crazy. I go to sleep at 10 every night because I'm too tired to stay up any longer and do anything else. I have to get up at 5 in the morning to get ready for school. On the weekends, I have to sleep with my door locked so my little brother won't come get me up at 6. That part's true. This is all true. This is what she's saying. And I'm tired of this bullshit. Next time I have to pour a cup of coffee, I'm going to flip shit. I have no idea how I have a life. I'm going to hate to see the day when you get too old to wipe your ass and you call me asking for help. I won't be there. Signed, your pissed kid, Hannah.
This is a family in need of help. Okay? Now, if we are to take this man at face value, apparently his 15-year-old daughter posted this on Facebook and tried to make it so that her parents... couldn't see it. She desperately needed to cry out, but it was imperative to her that her obviously authoritarian father not know it. Okay? Okay.
I'm going to address a couple of these. We have a lady that cleans the house for us. As a favor to trade off some services. She is not, and you will never again refer to her as the cleaning lady. That lady works harder in one day than you ever have in your life.
But not hard enough to actually pay her money, you'll note. She cleans their house as trade-off for some services. Wouldn't you like to see the relative valuation on that trade-off? Any guesses how this creep votes? Just asking.
Pay you for the chores you... Seriously? Pay you for chores that you're supposed to do around the house. You come home from school, you have a list of chores that are on the wall because you can't remember them if you don't. They are... sweep the living room and kitchen floor, which total will take you about 3 minutes. If the countertops are dirty, wipe them down, which takes about a minute.
Louisiana, maybe? Maybe I'm wrong about Texas.
If the dishwasher's full and been run, empty it and put the dishes away. If it's not, just be sure all the glasses and stuff are in the dishwasher.
Because where he's sitting, the land is so damn flat, if you dropped a marble, it wouldn't move.
If you have any laundry of your own, do it. And if your bed is unmade, do it. You don't have to do my laundry. You don't have to make my bed. You don't have to make the guest bed. You have to make your own bed.
Wouldn't this be better said to Hannah? Instead of, 22,094,940 people who are or are not, may or may not be Hannah? Now, Hannah was apparently crying out, as noted, but this guy is, what, whoring for attention? With apologies to people who actually work in sex. This is just shameless. I mean, there's stuff in here that I can't touch, that I really would have to rely on somebody like... horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner to help us with. But you're welcome to opine, just with what you've heard so far. And trust me when I tell you, we haven't gotten to the good part yet. Oh, Andy, we haven't gotten to the good part yet. I couldn't listen to him. What an SOB. I pity his daughter. What a shame to have him as a father to that poor girl. He's hideous. You nailed it. She's got to get away from him. Sandra, what the hell? This fool and his entire family needs to back away from the computer. How about a sit down? You know, face-to-face issues. And we haven't gotten to the good part.
Once a month or so, I guess you probably have to make the guest bed. But, pay you for chores? Are you out of your mind? You're 15 going on 16 years old. You want things for your laptop. You want a new battery. You want a new cord. You want a new camera. You want a new phone. You want a new iPod. But you won't get off your lazy ass to even look for a job. The only job that you...
I'm sorry. I hate to keep interrupting Mr. Canvas Roll-Up Cool Guy Hat. You know... It is no secret that we have teenagers in this house. And it is certainly no secret to anyone who's ever been involved in the raising of one that it ain't easy. And for anyone who's ever raised a teenager, those of us who pretend to a certain amount of enlightenment like to look back upon the fact that we probably are getting visited upon us a little bit of what we did to our own parents. But at the time, we thought we were completely in the right because, yes, we were teenagers, too. And it's a hard time of life, right? Yes. So here's a guy who's got a 15-year-old daughter, and he's like, why don't you get out there and get a job? Well, Daddy, there ain't just a hell of a lot of jobs around. Have you noticed it's 2012? Oh, there might be some minimum wage job out there that she could have 20 hours a week working at.
That'll be good for her. It's good for character.
We've got a little bit of that going on right now because our two youngest, Agnes and I are dealing with our two youngest, Ferg and Doodle, who have begun getting the I'd like to have more money in my pocket I think I'll go get a job bug. And I'm not saying anything behind, I'm not saying anything about them that I haven't said to their faces, so don't worry that I'm talking about my children behind their back. I'm not. And every time that topic comes up, you know what the answer here is in the Kincaid household? Don't worry about a job. You have a job. And it's one of the hardest jobs you could possibly have. Your job right now is to A, be 15, or 14, or 16, and B, to study as hard as you can, because it's going to take everything in your in the way of will and effort on your mother and my parts, and your will and your dedication to make sure that you go beyond the limited horizons of this tiny mountain community and pursue further education and become the person that we know you can be. We'll take care of you. You study. You learn. You prepare. And of course, I'm not where where the Marlboro roll-up hat man is, because I had a job at that. Shoot. I started working when I was old enough to push a lawnmower in the summers and springs and falls. Grass keeps growing in Alabama up into November. Or at least the green onions do. And I started pushing that mower at 10 years old, maybe. And by the time I was the age that the Marlboro man here is talking about, I had a job. 5 nights a week, 5 hours a night. Out of school at 3 p.m, home, shower. Well, there was football practice involved too for a while, or play practice. And out the door and gone to work till midnight, home at 1, in bed, up at 6. I did it. Youth. So when I tell my kids, no, your job is learning, it's not because I was raised by the Farquhars. Daddy Farquhar. And think that they're too privileged to learn. But God, the world is a hard place. And I would rather that they not see it in its brutal worst, until they have learned enough to understand the nature of what they're in. But the Marlboro man here, he wants the girl to go get a job! Clayton noting, Dad needs some boundaries and parenting skills. Ain't that the truth? But we haven't gotten to the good part.
You applied to is the one I made you apply to, because I got the application for you.
This is where he logs up in his letter. You were too lazy to carry that back. Now, what he means, carry that back? That's a southernism. That carry stands in for the word take. You were too lazy to take that back. So he has referred to her in 4 minutes and 41 seconds. He has referred to her lazy ass and called her lazy a couple or three times. Name-calling, that's always a good parenting approach, right? Name-calling. It really shows the adult side of the parent. Your lazy ass. You know, that's even different from saying, I will not tolerate laziness. Laziness is a noun. And it's okay to say you won't tolerate it. You know, everybody here works. Everybody contributes to the well-being of the house. Right? There is miles of difference between that and your lazy ass.
when I was your age, I had moved out of the house, lived on my own, went to college while in high school, worked two jobs, was a volunteer fireman, and still...
And walked uphill, walked back and forth to school 15 miles every day through 6 feet of snow, uphill both ways, and had nothing but mustard sandwiches to eat. Oh, God. So I guess this guy has built his sense of accomplishment around the cruelties that he survived that were... Why would he need to leave home at 15 years old? There's probably horror and sadness all around that, too. The kind of stuff that makes you scream out, try to scream in your sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, but your dream won't let your mouth open. But through the miracle of the passage of time, the Marlboro man here has turned that horror into some sort of self-aggrandizing personal hagiography. Right? Now, let's go back and make sure we understand everything that he had done by the time, as he's wadding up Hannah's letter, everything that he had done by the time he was her age.
The one I made you apply to, because I got the application for you. And you've been too lazy to even carry that back. When I was your age, I had moved out of the house, lived on my own, went to college while in high school, worked two jobs, was a volunteer fireman, and still went to school. Your responsibilities include waking up on time and getting on the bus. That's the end of your responsibility each day. You don't have that hard of life, but you're about to. I warned you months ago.
Oh, dear. Here comes the authoritarianism. You don't have that hard of life, but you're about to. I warned you. Time out. This is about the time when I first watched this last night that I began to be a little fearful. I was afraid the camera was going to pan around and he was going to have her tied to a stake and go beat her with his belt or something. Because, you know, that's how things happen in Jesus land. Not quite. Not quite.
About what would happen if you did something like this on Facebook again? The last time you were grounded, and quite frankly, I've forgotten now, but it was for something fairly childish and stupid. We took away the computer, that kind of thing. No cell phone, no Facebook. And I told you, if it ever happened again, that it'd be a lot worse. And I was really close that day to putting a bullet through your laptop. Now...
Do you hear the strained vocalisms? Do you hear the pause when he gets to talking about a bullet?
It's for something fairly childish and stupid. We took away the computer, that kind of thing. No cell phone, no Facebook. And I told you if it ever happened again, that it'd be a lot worse. And I was really close that...
Now, little visual moment, a little bit of dancing about architecture. As he begins to work up to this reference to the bullet, the Marlboro Man's cigarette has long since gone out, and he begins to roll the filter back and forth between his thumb and his index finger, back and forth. He will eventually demolish this cigarette. I don't know. Like Captain Queeg with the steel balls talking about the strawberries. Oh, they thought I was crazy, but I fooled them. I caught them with the strawberries. Click, 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 click. I think this is important. I want you to pay close attention and listen to what happens in his voice as he gets closer to where he's going.
And I told you, if it ever happened again, that it'd be a lot worse. And I was really close that day to putting a bullet through your laptop. Now...
To putting a bullet through your laptop. I was practically under the desk when I got to this part. To putting a bullet through your... And all of a sudden, my brain is hearing head, and I'm going, Jesus, no, please, how is this on YouTube? This thing should be removed. You know, there's a little bar graph there on YouTube that tells you who likes and who dislikes. Of 22,094,940 views, 245,000 people who have viewed this like it. Then there's 21,687 people, plus one, me, who dislike it. Are you listening in other countries? Would you dare ever set foot in the United States of America? You never know. I mean, this guy, I mean, he doesn't have a handlebar mustache. He doesn't have a black cape. He doesn't have a top hat. He doesn't have a red and black Darth Maul face. He doesn't have fangs. They're not dripping blood. In the United States of America, this bastard walks past you every day in Wally World or at the Starbucks. Or maybe he's showing his 9mm pistol off in a closet at the Grace Connections Church. He looks just like the rest of America. But in the blink of an eye, he becomes your worst nightmare. And he's in your wife's face in the grocery line saying, can't you count? Are you on welfare? By the time I was your age, I had left home and been through college and I was a volunteer fireman. This is that mad man that David in Tennessee was talking about just a few moments ago.
This time, I just spent all day yesterday, blew half my day, upgrading your laptop.
Yep, blew half his day being a parent. Being a parent. I blew half my day upgrading your laptop. Why? Doesn't it work, Buster? Why do you think you blew it? Because your daughter said something that she was obviously too terrified to be able to vocalize or verbalize or even present silently in writing to you because she had to hide it. Poor, sick bastard.
Put new software on it.
Uh-oh. Something's going to happen. He's crumbled that Marlboro butt down to nothing and thrown it away out of sight, out of the view of the camera.
Spent about $130 in software to get everything, you know.
And now he's into the stutters, and now he's throwing. He's balled up that letter and he's wadded it and wadded it and wadded it and wadded it, and now he's thrown it off screen. And he's still moaning and groaning about what he did for to fix her computer.
The way that you want to have it for school. You don't have to worry about buying a new laptop battery. You don't have to worry about buying a new power cord. You don't have to worry about buying a new camera. Because you won't be using any of them till probably college.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Sandra. Oh, my God, the stockade? Jim. Daddy dearest, are there wire coat hangers involved? Joan Crawford would love this story. And Jude, dear Jude, it's too painful, Bob. I have muted your program, as listening to that dangerous misfit is beyond my ability, and I understand. There's about 1 minute and 11 seconds left. I'm sorry, 2 minutes and 11 seconds. There's that whole math on the fly thing again.
I don't know how to say how disappointed I am in you and how disrespectful you were to every single adult in your life. But kid, you got it easy. Way easy.
She's got it easy. She's got this for a father, and she's got it easy. You're lucky I'm not pimping you downtown, kid.
It's about to get harder. It's about to get a whole lot harder.
Oh, hell, he does have her tied to a post off-screen, doesn't he?
Today. Because you're not going to see this, and for all I know,
maybe not.
You might not ever see it. But as soon as I'm done, I'm going to post this on your Facebook wall. So all those kids that thought it was cool for how rebellious you were can see what happens.
Yeah, because that whole public shaming and humiliation thing, that's such an effective parenting tool, isn't it? Oddly enough, I did look around a little bit, and I haven't found a story yet where this guy is under investigation. They at least went through the motions of investigating the judge who beat the tar out of his daughter. But maybe there's a difference. Maybe there's a difference.
And all the parents may get an idea to put a boot up their own kid's ass.
Oh, he must be a Toby Keith listener. Put a boot up their own kid's ass. That's what he wants to do. He wants to put a boot up his 15-year-old daughter's rectum. Rectum damn near killed him. He wants other parents to do this. He wants other parents to be as brutal toward their children as he is to his own.
Because all this, I mean, there was more curse words in that one post. Just ridiculous. Not happening. Disrespectful to me, your mother, your stepmother, your family, your friends, and yourself. So I'm going to put a stop to it. And I'm going to put a stop to it right now.
Uh-oh, he's gotten up. Dear Jesus, he's walked to the camera. He's moving the camera.
That right there is your laptop. You see it's out here on the ground. This right here is my .45. That was the first round. These are exploding hollow point rounds from, yeah.
Do you hear him panting? I think he's sexually excited. These are exploding hollow point rounds. Goddamn, plain old full lead wad cutter would do the job, don't you think? He's put two rounds into a laptop computer sitting on the ground at this point.
And you have to pay me back for these two, because these are about a dollar a piece.
Okay, ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. The guy fired three times. He is at point-blank range at a laptop computer, and he is so goddamned angry, he missed one! He missed with one! Not 2 feet away, and he missed!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, yeah. And after that comment you made about your mom told me to be sure I put one there for her, so that one's from her. And if I got one left, I got two left. Now I'm out. So, just for the record, whenever you're not grounded, whenever year that happens to be, you can have a new laptop when you buy a new laptop. And when you pay me back the $130 for the software I spent on yours yesterday. Hope you've enjoyed your little fiasco on Facebook. Hope it was worth all this. Have a good day, y'all.
road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dream, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh. Your elders grew by, and so please help them with your youth. They see the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and
thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, February 14, 2012.
This idea, this politicization of science called man-made global warming.
Republican insane clown posse rolls into CPAC.
We need to reduce our dependence on foreign oil by ending the subsidies for oil companies and doubling down on clean energy that generates jobs and strengthens our security.
Obama calls again for ending taxpayer oil industry subsidies. Plus, global warming is impacting chocolate. Okay, now it's personal.
Happy Valentine's Day. No chocolate for you. All of that and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
If we're serious about manufacturing, we have to eliminate the Environmental Protection Agency, which is a job-killing agency.
You know, you can't just put the words job-killing before everything you don't like. That was the job-killing Newt Gingrich at the job-killing CPAC conference as he runs for job-killing President of the United States. Or something. This is your job-killing Green News Report. Okay, Des, it was a wild and woolly weekend with all of the Republican candidates descending upon CPAC, the biggest quote-unquote conservative conference of the year, and they brought the global warming denier crazy with them.
Yes, the crazy train arrived at CPAC, that annual gathering of Republican operatives, and you heard Newt Gingrich earlier blaming the loss of U.S. manufacturing jobs on the EPA.
If the EPA's fault.
But the current frontrunner, former Senator Rick Santorum, turned up the froth again, claiming President Obama
tried to get control not only of the healthcare system, but of the energy industry, the manufacturing industry, and using this facade of man-made global warming.
Ah, the facade of man-made global warming.
Yeah, and you know what's surprising to me about this is that the big boys in the corporate media don't even bother to ask him about the fact that he is a global conspiracy theorist.
You're right, they don't, but we kind of expect that of them by now, don't we?
Yes, we do. Stepping away from the insanity for a moment, President Obama released his proposed federal budget for 2013 this week. Of course, the budget will undergo many changes, but it does provide a roadmap to the president's vision for the country, among other energy and environment initiatives. At a speech at Virginia College, he called for fighting the budget deficit by eliminating taxpayer subsidies for the fossil fuel industry. That would save roughly $40 billion over the next 10 years.
Where have I heard that before?
Pretty much every speech he's ever done.
That's right.
Although Obama again promised in all of the above strategy that includes fossil fuels, his budget also increases funding for clean energy research, wind and solar projects, science and engineering education and training, and conservation programs.
And let's not forget that just last week, the Obama administration approved two more nuclear plants to be built in the southeast.
But at the same time, they also approved nine more wind and solar projects across the west and offshore.
Which one do you think will blow up first?
Good point. And while the president's budget blueprint cuts $105 million from the Environmental Protection Agency, according to Think Progress...
The job-killing Environmental Protection Agency.
According to Think Progress, some ominous wording is buried deep in that EPA budget request. They're begging to save crucial programs to, quote, reduce greenhouse gas programs before it is too late.
Don't tell Rick Santorum.
Meanwhile, Senate Republicans are determined to force through approval of the controversial Keystone XL pipeline by attaching an amendment mandating the pipeline's construction onto a must-pass highway funding bill. Bill McKibben of climate activist group 350.org is calling on the 99% to take a stand against the Keystone XL pipeline, joining with the Sierra Club, MoveOn.org, and other environmental groups by sending a million signatures to the Senate. The petition is nearing 1 million signatures. You can add yours at 350.org. So while Republicans are building a bridge to the 19th century, things are a little bit different over in the European Union, where they're also building more energy capacity, only in renewables. Wind and solar generated more than two-thirds of new electricity capacity in the European Union just last year. Hey, it's Valentine's Day this week, but apparently global warming hates the most important part of the day. Chocolate. A new study from the International Center for Tropical Agriculture says that rising temperatures are already affecting cocoa trees in West Africa, the world's most important cocoa-producing region that provides half of the world's supply. The study projects that by 2050, drought and heat waves will severely impact West African cocoa production, severely curtailing the world's supply of chocolate. Valentine's Day is also a good day to send a hug to a climate scientist. Imagine how you'd feel if your job entailed being the target of relentless conservative witch hunts, hate mail, and death threats. It's a wonder they get any work done. So the folks at Climate Nexus say, appreciate a climate scientist today, Valentine's Day, or any day. Give climate scientists a virtual hug on Facebook, Twitter, and blogs by using the hashtag phrase, #IHeartClimateScientists, to remind them that their work is valuable and they're not alone.
I don't have to imagine the hate and death threats at all. Welcome to the world of progressive media. For more on all of these stories and those we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider sponsoring the Green News Report so that we can stay on your public airwaves and derail the crazy train anytime we can. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
me a little while getting over that one. Go on to the phones momentarily. The lines are, of course, open. You know the number, 304-658-3333. Toll free will be restored at some time in the near future. Hopefully sooner rather than later. We're working on it. A couple of comments. Sandra noticed something I noticed. What? Stepmother? Did he go have a wank after that? Nightmare! And Andy, with a very trenchant observation, the best at raising well-adjusted children are hunter-gatherers. The community method, where everyone looks after everyone else's children, the child never gets hit or severely scolded in the hunter-gatherer society, the adults take responsibility for the entire tribe. The Puritans could never understand the American Indian because the children ran free, raised not by the rod, but by the watchful, kindly eye of the community. The children in these societies end up being the most well-adjusted social creatures that value the health and well-being of the entire society. The individual is subordinated to the benefit of the community, very unlike our individualistic society, where stress-related illness is rampant. This is why we have a me, me, me society. They want it all. Andy concludes, this dude should be put away, or at the very least get therapy. What a complete nut. Yeah, did you notice the amount of time that he spent talking about money? There are, you know, if you browse around that holy book that these fundamentalists like to thump more than they like to read, you will find an oft-misquoted piece of scripture that people misquote it by saying, money is the root of all evil. It's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root. The child never appeared on screen. I don't know. Have you guys been digging yet? Do we know who this clown is? Where he lives? This dangerous nut with a gun? Has anybody found out where he is? Has anybody called Child Protective Services? Because anybody that would do what this father just did is only a good piss-off away from a real horror show. And this from David in Tennessee. Subject line, empirically gathered data on my part, from the oft-repeated aphorism or whatever saying, empirically gathered data is the best data. David says, Bob, now you know why punk bands have so many homeless kids. Usually runaways that follow them all over. Not kidding. Yeah. Because it just gets too painful. I remember back in the late 70s or early 80s as punk and new wave, punk and then new wave were at their crest. A guy who would go on to be famous for a lot of other stuff, named Bob Geldof, had a band called the Boomtown Rats. And this was one of their better-known songs. Isn't that lovely? Based on a true story, of course.
She was good as cold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be sure?
It's not for dramatic effect that I say it. I'm worried. I fear. I fear for that young girl. I guess it's merciful that there hasn't been a follow-up story of some sort of horror transpiring. But you know what the news would say? It was unexplainable. No one would have expected it from such a solid citizen. Jim writing in, he says, regarding Andy's comments, he said, well said, Andy. How incisive. What a crypto-Nazi bastard this asshole is. He needs to be locked up in Supermax before he kills someone. Clayton saying, Bob, it's best I don't know who the son of a bitch is. And Corey. Thank you, Corey, from the Free State of Louisville. Dude's name is Tommy Jordan. Been looking around, and apparently the cops did visit his place after the video went viral. This from CNET. Police visit Facebook dad who shot daughter's laptop. The person writing, Chris Matizic,
I don't know how many other parents shot their children's laptops this weekend, but Tommy Jordan, the man who last week did it on YouTube, is now officially famous. It seems that once the first million people enjoyed his laptop blasting exploits, the police and Child Protective Services operatives paid him a visit. They have wondered whether his 15-year-old daughter Hannah, she who believes she is a slave and ought to be paid for doing household chores, is safe and happy. All seems calm now at Casa Jordan. And how about that? Daddy's got a Facebook page, too. He's upset about daughter and what she says on hers, but he's got one. The Daily. Okay, I had it all wrong. A North Carolina dad, but he's still in Jesus land, who shot up his teenager's laptop for trash-talking him on Facebook, says he got a visit from authorities, but is bragging they didn't do anything to him. Jesus Christ, get that little girl out of the house. Tommy Jordan posted a video of his unconventional parenting methods on his 15-year-old daughter Hannah's Facebook page, which grabbed the attention of Child Protective Services and the police after it went viral. In a Facebook post yesterday, the former Marine wrote that Child Protective Services officials came to his home in Albemarle, North Carolina, and interviewed him and his daughter separately after receiving several calls from viewers of the video who feared where he might point his gun next. The police also stopped by, but neither the officers nor Child Protective Services took any action against him, Jordan boasted. The police, by the way, said, "Kudos, sir. How's about those apples? Didn't expect that when you called the cops, did ya?" And now the questions begin to be answered. Jordan had been living with Hannah for only a little more than 6 months before posting his video in response to her Facebook diatribe titled, "To My Parents." Jordan and his wife live about 5 hours from Jordan's ex-wife and Hannah's mother, Michelle Ambrose Smith. Hannah lived with her mother and took extended visits to her father's home in the summer and during holidays. In August, Jordan wrote on his blog that he missed his daughter so much that he asked his daughter if she'd like to live with him permanently and that she had accepted. I wonder how many days before she's screaming to go back to her mom's, he mused in a blog post the day after Hannah moved in. Well, no surprise here. Ms. Ambrose Smith did not respond to requests for comment, and Jordan posted on his Facebook, "Would you? 5 hours ain't a hell of a lot of time between you and somebody with a .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol who likes to shoot things and brag about it." Jordan posted on his Facebook page that he was unplugging his phone for the weekend and did not respond to requests for comment. So there's no way to know whether Hannah is contemplating a return to her mother. Or, for that matter, no way of knowing whether she's contemplating a suicide. In his post on Facebook, Jordan wrote that if he could do things differently, he would not have smoked a cigarette in the video. He said he wants to quit, and that he would not have referred to his daughter as an ass. "I'd have worn my silver belly Stetson, not my Tilly hat, if I'd known that image was going to follow me the rest of my life, and I'd probably have cleaned my boots. That's it. I meant all the rest of it." Oh, and by the way, if you go and look through his Facebook page, you can see his politics. Patty in North Dakota noting, "Amazing." Content is currently unavailable. Got a screenshot, Patty? Well, I suppose there's other stuff to talk about this evening. But golly Moses. But you see, and the cops said, "Kudos, sir!"
Well, I'm sure that same cop who drew down on a pair of shoppers in Walmart would say, kudos, sir! Michael writing in. From Norway. Looks to me like the Cold War arms race is far from over in the USA, only now it is in a miniature among its citizens. No, we do not get stories like these in Norway, even though there are some examples of police getting a bit too power-mad and authoritative. There are stories of police escalating situations that are not warranting any use of physical force, but I can sort of understand how it gets to that, as police are trained to think of all the what-ifs. Their job often does require thinking the worst of people, so not to be caught off guard if it turns out someone seemingly harmless suddenly is wielding a knife. Norway, of course, had its own horror a few months back. But it's not every day. Michael says, I suppose this is necessary to keep safe in their job. However, a negative result of such is some might be patrolling tripping on adrenaline. When it turns out to be nothing particularly suspicious or dangerous going on, they almost get disappointed and try to fish for the confrontation they were denied. Unless there's a more seasoned officer present who can defuse the situation, things can get ugly. Police certainly do play an important role in society when situations require it, but having them prowling around where their mode of services rarely is required, like at a grocery store or at a school, is, as far as I can tell, like asking for trouble. I would not be surprised if things like what you referred to happen due to boredom and a police officer not liking the prospect of going to work today neither, or of going home to have dinner and the spouse yet again saying nothing happened at work today neither. So having police absolutely everywhere, which seems to be increasingly common in the States, thinking things therefore necessarily must be that much safer, is a truth with many modifications. I bet that officer that was set to the job at the grocery store was pretty miffed when he was told this was going to be his post. That's the thing. He was plain clothes. He was just standing in line being a shopper. He wasn't guarding the Wally World. And I would say, rightly so, it's a waste of their training. And it would be. That being said, I do, of course, not in any way condone the actions and attitudes of the officer in question here. Thanks for keeping on digging, Corey. In the CNET story, it says he is a Ron Paul supporter. Are we surprised? Not hardly. Not a dime's worth. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
I did have a couple of things, other things I wanted to talk about, but I'll talk about that if you prefer.
Well, you go anywhere you want to, Juanita.
But I do feel sorry for that girl. I mean, I think she's probably got more problems than is obvious.
Well, here's how it works. When you're a money-obsessed, libertarian, right-wing Ron Paul supporter, here's how it plays out. In your mind, you're thinking, I'm paying child support to that girl's mama. It sure would be a lot easier if I could just have her living here, and then I wouldn't have to pay that child support. And she'd get the raising that she needs, and I wouldn't have to pay that child support. Remember, she'd only been in the house for, only been in his home for 6 months. But he worked her, Juanita. He worked her until she decided to come live with him, because Daddy loves her.
Yeah. Well, he said something about her, one of the bullets was for her mother, or was it for her stepmother?
She said, I told your mother, after what you said about your mother, she said to make sure there was a bullet for her.
Yeah, but, I mean, if she's got nowhere to go.
No.
If that's her real mother.
No, she
that
doesn't.
That might have been where she was coming from while she left and went to live with her daddy. And, boy, howdy.
And she's, you know, she's moved into a house with a six-year-old stepbrother who, you know, six-year-old stepbrothers are not easy to deal with if you're a 15-year-old girl.
No, yeah, I didn't hear that part. But
well, he's talking.
Yeah.
He says,
she's got all them people there. somebody needs to interfere in that situation, you know, that give that girl a break.
Somebody needs to give that girl an alternative.
Yeah, an alternative, right. That's what I meant. Yeah. Well, what I was calling about was just a couple of things was, I noticed that, do you know how many pages that new, budget that Obama put out is? It looks pretty thick to me.
Well, any federal budget's gonna be thicker than a Manhattan phone book, just about.
But I'm just wondering how many pages do you think it might be? Have you seen a picture of it?
No.
It looks like two or three times bigger than the old Sears Roebuck catalog. Well, the reason what I'm trying to make a point about is, they haven't been able to read the, what they call Obamacare thing yet. It's so long, right?
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, but they call it Obamacare.
Right, I'm trying to. Okay.
It's just too long to read.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Some of them haven't been.
Just
able
go
to
sleep every time I open the cover. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now, how long has this budget been out? A couple of days?
Right.
And they already know everything about it.
Everybody, yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh yeah. Maybe between the Affordable Care Act coming out and this budget, Juanita, maybe because it turned out that they had been such, maybe they had an Evelyn Wood speed reading class.
Maybe. But you see what I'm trying to say.
I do.
What I'm trying to make is.
I think the short version is the truth ain't in them. Is that it?
Right. The other thing, I don't know if I was, I don't know if I heard it on the show yesterday or if I heard it on the rerun, but I believe you and Jim was talking about language. Was that yesterday? Or
some, yeah, that I think that was part of the conversation.
Okay. I'll tell you something that really brought the point home to me, how crazy our country is about such as that. And on C-SPAN about 5 or 6 years ago, they showed where a reporter has strapped cameras to, Marines, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And where they could talk and they were going into battle and it was recorded and all. And they played it and it had all kind of, you know, you can imagine you going through battle and, you know, what they might have said. And Brian Lamb was still on then, and he said, you know, when we put this on our radio station, we have to bleep out all those words. And that just really brought it home to me.
Yeah, because and that's just journalistic reporting, but the FCC still says that no matter what's good, nope, you can't, there's just some words you can't say.
And the guy, the reporter, he said he didn't want to go out and put his say-so on it. He wanted to let them speak for themselves, and it was an amazing piece of work. And, you know, they had a couple of the servicemen there, and I believe it was Marines. And because they were right in the heart of battle. They were kind of... I don't know if they were in tanks or one of those other things they had over there. But anyway, it was really startling. But yet, I thought that was really amazing. And that shows how crazy our country is about such things. Is, why do you have to take it off the radio? I mean, more people are going to listen to TV than they are to radio.
But
it's just crazy.
Well, but the rules apply to TV too.
But they played it like it was.
Yeah, but that's because it's cable.
And it was on C-SPAN.
And C-SPAN only comes on cable.
Yeah.
And the FCC
doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. They're words. The FCC doesn't have. F- full jurisdiction over cable. So as long as it's not during family viewing hours, or it's relatively unlikely that little Timmy or little Cindy or little Susie or little Johnny will hear those words that they hear their mom and dad use all the time.
Yeah.
Then it's okay, especially because it's cable. Now and that's the difference between cable and satellite and terrestrial broadcasting, Juanita. Terrestrial broadcasting goes out from an antenna at the station and into an antenna at your home. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrestrial broadcasting, and that is what the FCC has full jurisdiction over, because it is making use of the airwaves that the public are deemed laughingly to own.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think, getting back to what you were talking about, though, those were too powerful. And the, what do you call it, from one extreme to the other?
Yeah.
Or from one, yeah, both of them extreme. But, I don't know, that last girl, I don't know, there's gotta be a whole lot more to it. Imagine living with him.
Oh, I can't.
But you're talking about, you know, something being done. I mean, when you're that careless with a gun, it's like he was trying to kill her.
Well, that's the implicit message. In that, because he's arguing that she has wrapped up her personhood inside Facebook, so what he was doing was symbolically murdering his daughter.
Right. That's the way I felt about it.
I mean, when I watched this the first time last night, I the first time through, I was afraid he was going to do something to his daughter on screen.
You wondered.
And he did. Since Andy went down the anthropology road, I'll go down the anthropology road too. He used that laptop as a totem for his daughter.
And he ritually killed
his daughter in the video.
And you know, he didn't really give any warning that he was going to do that. He was just saying that before, he almost put a bullet in it. And then all of a sudden he's through, you know, and then, oh, okay, this is what I want to do. Bang, bang, bang. I mean, please. So that shows he's erratic. I mean, he couldn't even be calm about that. But he definitely wants to control her.
Absolutely. There's a psychopathology inside that as well, Juanita. You know, why does he feel such a profound urge to be so controlling?
Yeah. And you know, even though children, you know, be given chores, give them a break once in a while. You know what I mean? It's kind of...
Well, no, but you can, that's all manageable. Small potatoes.
Yeah.
And there'll be some stomping around and some carrying on, but that's what teenagers do. And you straighten them up, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm a perfect parent, because I am anything but. Most of the time, I find myself looking at Agnes going, I am a terrible father. Because I'm constantly examining to see, you know, where I have succeeded and where I failed, and comparing it with how I was raised. And because, you know, none of this comes with a book. There's no parenting manual. You know, you've got to go down to the bait shop and pay for a fishing license and show that you know how you've got to get a hunting license and pass a hunter's safety course. But all you got to do to have a kid is muster up a pair of hormones.
Yeah. But they, I think the main thing is that you let them know that you really love them and care about them. You have to.
But Juanita, how do you do that? How do you do that after you've ritually killed her?
Right, right. Well, that I know. That man definitely. That's what I used to say, that there needs to be like men, you know, because some men don't listen to anybody but a man that they respect, and somebody that he might have respect and sit him down and say, look, man, this is not the way to treat your daughter. And because, I mean, he's got that.
Well, you know, the community, once upon a time, before police forces and social service agencies became the norm in this country, and I'm not saying it worked or that it was good, but communities policed these sorts of things on their own.
Yeah.
The fathers like this were dragged out in the night and had the crap beaten out of them to make sure that they would. And that's no answer either, because, see, that's the problem. Violence begets violence. Now, here's a guy talking about, I was out of the home by the time I was your age and went to high school and some college and I was a volunteer firefighter. And, you know, good for him. It must have been hard.
Yeah. But
you know what?
Anyway.
She's a 15-year-old little girl. She's only been in his house 6 months, and she is most assuredly not him. We don't have any idea how long it had been since she lived with her father in her home.
Yeah.
There's a 6-year-old little boy in that house that she's having to get used to.
Yeah. Well, you wonder if some way, if a mother really wanted her real mother really wanted the bullet for her, do one for her, if she really did, you wonder what kind of arrangement they had that he would be tougher and a better father than she was.
But do you remember the story and the horrifying audio of the judge in Texas beating his daughter within an inch of her life?
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember how the mother behaved, Juanita?
No, I don't.
Oh, it was sickening. Now you just bend over and take it like a grown up. I was trying to make it better. I was trying to make it better. And so, you know, Daddy starts screaming at her too.
Yeah.
You know, if that happened on a Saturday and this is happening on a Sunday, there's been a phone call to Mommy's house, and he screamed at her for a while, which probably has a little something to do with why they're not together anymore.
You think?
I'm guessing.
Well, listen, Bob, I'm going to let you go, and I'm sure somebody else has got something.
Well, Juanita, it's awful good to hear from you, dear.
You too, and happy Valentine's Day.
And a very merry Lupercalia to you, too.
Lupercalia?
Lupercalia. That's where it comes from.
Luper?
L-U-P-E-R-C-A-L-I-A.
I'll have to look that up.
Old Roman holiday. Okay. All right, you take care. Old Roman holiday.
Oh, probably after one of the Greek gods or something.
Yeah, the ancient Greeks, too. Leukos, Luper, they both mean wolf.
Okay.
It's a fertility rite. Take care, Juanita.
You too.
Bye now. Our dear friend Juanita calling from Florida, and an observation just posted in the Head On Radio Network chat room. You ever been to the chat room? It's a great good time, and it's free and everything. No, this comment posted, and it makes a lot of sense. What do you want to bet somebody tries to get him to run for office? That coming from Phase 5 in the chat room. You reckon some group will ask him to stand for office? You know what we need? We need Tommy Jordan to go to Washington and send a message. He's a no-nonsense, straightforward, talking conservative, and he needs to take his... By God, he can go up there and shoot that Obama budget. Oh, wait a minute. Joe Manchin done shot... Well, Joe Manchin just shot the cap and trade bill. We got a lot more liberal legislation up there needs a good shooting. We need to send Tommy Jordan to office. Right?
I mean, if Joe the plumber, well, you know, come on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Jim.
Just quickly here. This man is a very sick, seriously damaged, inadequate type of person who obviously, in my opinion, is taking out his frustrations because of his own inadequacies and shortcomings and shortfalls upon a 15-year-old girl. I mean, it's just hard to imagine how anybody could behave in that fashion and behave so asymmetrically. I mean, that's all I can call it. It's loss of symmetry in behavior. It is potentially, you know, dangerous, as I said before. I mean, what's he going to do next?
Well, you know what? There's no pat answer to your question, Jim, but there is enough there to make us worry because, again, he bragged about it on Facebook. Yeah, the police come and talk to me, and you know what they said? They said, kudos to you, sir. I bet you didn't think about that when you called the cops on me, did you?
Yeah, our Clockwork Orange police, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're all sick fucks. Excuse me, but they are. I mean, no responsible, sane, caring human being would behave like that and then make it so public. And that's all I can say. I mean, it's just beyond description. I mean, I think he really needs to be locked up. He needs to be evaluated and locked up or just...
And never allowed around a firearm for the rest of his natural born days.
Or a child.
Or a... Jesus, you know what? Yeah, you've got your priorities straight. I'm worrying about the firearm.
Really?
Yeah. And remember the six-year-old in the house?
Excuse me. Yeah.
That's a little boy.
That's what I was thinking about. I mean, you know, can you imagine what impact he's going to have on the character and the growth and development of that six-year-old boy and what he's going to try to do to him once that kid in his own mind, and I repeat, in his own mind, whatever you might call his psyche, crosses him. I mean, people like this are really dangerous. They really are. I mean, they're just an accident looking for a place to happen. I mean, one day he's upgrading the young girl's laptop and spending how much money to get it up to speed, and then the next day he's on Facebook with a .45 revolver. I mean, for automatic.
Yeah, you're touching on something that David in Tennessee just mentioned, Jim. He said, that ex-Marine is a burning hunk of gun fetish. He didn't just use his gun. No, he went for my .45. David said, it tells me he had weapon choices. He was fixated on the description of the round used. He even mentioned that. A basic round-nose practice round would have done in that laptop just fine, but no, he had to use some exotic crack-the-engine-block, drop-the-rhino round. He said, that guy, David says, is a tweaker that's wound way too tight, and him needs some quality cell time.
Well, he sort of reminds me of that guy in Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Remember the latrine scene when this guy is just over the wall and shoots a drill instructor and then turns a gun on himself?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, God. It's just hard for me to get my head around people who behave like that. That's just beyond the pale. And I don't understand how people like that can be...
Well, again, wrap your head around the fact, Jim, that this guy's got 22 million views.
And all these people thought what he did was just wonderful.
And he has 245,778 thumbs up.
And how many thumbs down?
21,688.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. And he got...
10 to 1, in excess of 10 to 1 approval.
what you were saying. I just wasn't sure of the figures, and all these people were agreeing with him. Well, that's symptomatic of the society in which we live and how people have gotten their values and their actions and the projections of their own personalities they're going to place upon their own children, which I think is just absolutely horrible. I mean, good Lord.
His Facebook picture, by the way, is of him in a straw cowboy hat with a plaid Western shirt unbuttoned about halfway to his navel while he's apparently riding a horse.
Oh, one of those. He thinks that hat and that shirt halfway down to his navel, and you say he's on horseback?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I can just see how...
Because he's holding something that appears to be braided reins.
Oh, wow. I just wonder how, this is what I've been trying to say, and the words have failed me, but, this type of compensatory behavior, and that's exactly what it is, but it goes beyond compensatory behavior. It's nihilistic, and it's sick. And as I said before, he is one sick fuck.
Oh, and by the way, he says, he is not really an active-duty United States Marine. He possesses a military discharge medical for a stupid knee problem that went away on its own.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he has an honorable discharge?
No, he says, I possess a military discharge medical.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sure that that discharge, I would wager... It's probably a general discharge and probably would be in the classification of Section 8, that this guy couldn't cut it. And there was something more wrong with him than a knee problem.
Check this out, Jim. I'm not running for president, have no intention of running for president, and would probably make a crappy president because ... never mind why. That'd just open another can of worms, LOL. But hey, that Ron Paul dude, he's got my vote. I like his politics, and I think he's got the best head on his shoulders I've seen in a politician in my lifetime. Agree, disagree, doesn't matter. I just thought I'd put my vote behind him.
Oh, so Ron Paul has this gentleman or this man's endorsement, right?
Yes.
Well, he's neither a gentleman nor is he a man. As far as I'm concerned, he's subhuman. He is Untermensch. And, the best case for sterilization or vasectomy that ever wore a pair of fake cowboy boots, because I'm sure he couldn't afford real ones. And for him to be in that country and western drag, and that's exactly what it is in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right.
With the Cadillac Stetson that's not even real and, trying to act real butch so that he wants to give the impression that he farts nails and that sort of thing.
And for all the I'm not seeking fame business, check this out.
Exactly what he's doing.
To answer the why don't you just take the video down comments we've received. Suddenly he's using the royal we, Jim. Because our attorneys told us not to. The license granted to YouTube when it was posted protects us as long as it's hosted there. Once it gets removed, that particular copyright protection and intellectual property right ceases to exist on the YouTube medium. Additionally, my own thought on the matter was, well, blah, 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 and it says see more, and we didn't see it.
Oh, well. Why am I not surprised?
So, using the royal we and us, and... This guy's got Give Me a Reality TV Show written all over him.
Well, I mean, when you've got these people who are on television like Larry the Cable Guy, Get Her Done, and all these terribly unattractive people.
Okay, here's one for you.
I mean, good Lord, Larry the Cable Guy? I mean, who in the world would want to go to bed with him? Or
try this on.
I just had a friend run Good Morning America off my lawn. Grr. They came running into the bedroom an hour ago and said, what do we do? Good Morning America is at your front door. I said, let them wait, and went back to sleep for another half hour. I really hope this isn't the beginning of a trend. People show up in my yard, it's going to be a whole different Tommy. Hashtag walk tall and carry a big stick. Now, you know what walking tall was, right?
Yeah, I remember. Is that Buford Pusser or somebody like
yeah.
that? Is that what he said about Good Morning America making an interview request to him? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And the Morgan's Dairy Bar, an hour away from Albemarle, North Carolina, has extended a job offer to his daughter, Hannah.
As what?
To work for him, because she said she needs a job.
Doing what, I wonder?
Serving up ice cream cones, I reckon.
I would think so. But, I mean, you know, if you look at A&E, for example, American Arts and Entertainment, they used to be a real good cable station. And now they've got all this stuff about guys shooting alligators and all these roughnecks and these rednecks on there. And the more reprehensible their behavior, and in my opinion, just, you know, asymmetrical their behavior. I mean, these are being presented as role models for people. Well, look at that guy. He's tough. Look at him shoot this and shoot that and kill this and kill that.
And I think it's important that we not get too far afield, Jim, from the fact that what that video was, and really was, and I'm not just saying this to sensationalize the story, that was a ritual killing of his daughter.
Yeah.
It was a totemic killing of his daughter.
Yeah, because he was destroying the instrument that embarrassed him and really brought, probably unconsciously, to his own psyche, his own series of faults and his own lack of ability to behave like a rational human being. And you know, when people who are of that mindset, who are sick like that, are confronted with a mirror image of themselves, and that's basically what that laptop may have represented to him. I don't know. I'm no psychiatrist, nor am I a psychologist, but I do know mental health and the lack thereof when I see it. I mean, you know, that's exactly what this thing represented to him, and he was just going to blow it away, not once, but, what, five or six times
exploding hollow point rounds.
Bullets, yeah, I mean,
they're about a dollar a piece.
Yeah, I guess she's going to have to.
And she's going to have to pay him back for them, too.
So she'll have to make reparations, right?
Bingo! Jim, you don't miss a lick, my friend. And by the way, also on his Facebook page is a very manly photo. He favors checkered Western shirts. This one's kind of a crimson and white affair of him with his headphones on, shooting a semi-automatic assault weapon with a high capacity clip sticking out the bottom of it. Oh, he's a manly man, Jim. But my personal favorite is on page 11 of what Patty in North Dakota has sent along. Check this out. Dear Canada, please wait before you decide to sell your oil to China. We're working hard down here in the U.S. to remove this disgrace of a president and replace him with one who actually gives a crap about the American people, our oil economy, and our oil independence from the Middle East. As soon as we have him out of office, you can feel free to send all that crude oil this away.
Hmm. How eloquent. I'm not laughing, but, you know, there's sometimes when I've known people who, when they see car wrecks or when they're in, you know, go to funerals, instead of crying, stuff like that, they have a psychological mechanism that causes them to laugh.
We have all seen the Mary Tyler Moore episode concerning Chuckles the Clown.
Right.
Dressed in a peanut suit. shelled to death by an elephant.
Yeah.
One of the greatest comic moments in television, without a doubt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's all I have to say about this man, but, I mean, he's just woefully inadequate as a man and as a human being, and I would dare say that he probably, well, how can I say this delicately? I just wonder how adequate his performance in the bedroom is with his wife and what he does to her and how he treats her as compensatory behavior for his own lack of manliness. And to tell you the truth, I would dare say, well, he probably doesn't measure up too well, and I'm just going to leave measure up to your own device, okay?
I ain't going to touch it, not with a 20-foot battle lance, Jim.
Well, he probably couldn't either, and that's his problem.
Oh, it's a somber and serious subject, but you just can't resist. You're on a roll. You have a talent, Jim, and there's no sense denying it.
Well, people like that who basically don't measure up in the, as they said on Roseanne one time, the boudoir department or the boudoir department. Well, they basically, you know, they let this thing out in other ways. Okay.
All right, Jim. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye now. You know, I get email about Jim. Good email, fan mail. Last night, I think it was a liberal in South Carolina sent along a note. Can't find it here, but he said, last night was some world-class radio. And many thanks to Patty out in North Dakota for pulling all those screenshots. Dear Canada, please don't sell your oil to China. You can't fix stupid. But it is occasionally a good idea to take the guns and knives away from them. By the way, Agnes, and you know, we probably need a little family intervention here because I'm in the middle of the show and I've got Agnes emailing me. Maybe one of these days we'll get things straightened up so she can come back here and produce and answer your calls and stuff. Subject line, Wild Dillweed Dad. The described bullets he used I thought were termed cop killers and were banned. If he spent money on the computer, then why not sell it and recoup his loss? And finally, when I'm using a firearm, I know how many rounds I have. He's just brilliant for the surprise he shows for those extra rounds. This is all an extension of reality-based idiocracy. Some more of that empirically gathered data is the best data. David in Tennessee, regarding the little boy, the 6-year-old, A... The kid's so scared he'll never come out of his shell, or B. Sobering moment here. B. He knows he'll need to shoot first if he's going to come through alive at hearing verbiage like that. That man, Tommy Jordan, has created either a repressed and damaged child or a child eager to shoot first. That gives me chills. That gives me chills. Jay out in Yuma or San Luis, depending on which side of the border he's on today. You know, I bet Hannah doesn't wipe his ass when he gets old. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to take the bet, Jay, because dysfunction is a hard thing. In 15 years' time, it'll be, but sugar, you know Daddy only did that for your own good. I know, Daddy, and I'm so much a better person because you did. Let's go out and shoot my son's car. Jeanette, Minnesota. Subject line, violence R-U-S. It sounds like this kid is doing all the work at home plus having to do homework and be up at 5 a.m., which studies have shown is not good for teenagers. No, actually, the studies show that if you started school a little bit later in the day, teenagers would learn more. Yeah, I noticed that, too. I do all the work and my homework, and I'm so tired that I'm down at 10 o'clock because I don't have the energy to do anything else. Because I have to be up at 5
to go to school. We know a little bit about that reality here because that's when our own teenagers are getting up to get on the bus at 6 and ride the bus for an hour and 15 minutes to go 6 miles up the road. Jeanette says, yeah, the kids' post was bratty. I was a brat sometimes, too. A lot of teenagers are sometimes brats, and virtually all of them will at some point talk to their friends about things that are bothering them at home. It's how you get things out of your system at that age. Yes, yes, and yes. What is he doing on her Facebook page anyway? Does she know that he has access to it? Sounds like he wasn't reading a post that she posted for everyone on Facebook to read, just her friends, and he hacked into it? Well, yeah, that's what he says at the beginning. Your daddy works. He's got it. He spends the entire video constantly aggrandizing himself. I mean, this guy has self-esteem issues. Well, damn it, it was a rinky-dink medical discharge for a knee problem that fixed itself. Isn't everything about this creep just the epitome of the right wing? Won't take personal responsibility, projects things onto others, and solves problems with firearms. Jeanette continues, he's the parent here, but he's acting like a child with a gun. What a great role model for his kids. If he shoots things to make a point and then posts the video for the world to see, who's to say he hasn't shot up a wall in the house when he's pissed at his wife or shot the dog dish when he's pissed at the dog, which could result in accidentally shooting the dog. When someone cuts him off in traffic, does he stick his arm out the window and shoot the a-hole's tires or trunk? When the daughter does something worse, what's he going to do? Shoot her? Did I just hear him light a cigarette? Figures. Smoking's the most selfish, rude, and repugnant habit on earth. That guy is a textbook example of why many of us up north think Southerners are a bunch of racist, sexist, homophobic, gun-toting, insane, babbling, religious fundamentalist, Confederate flag-waving, warmongering, uneducated morons who can't speak English yet want to deport all them Mexicans. Incidentally, I know people up here whose first language is Spanish, but they talk English way more better than a lot of those whose first language is English. We have more than enough conservatives here in Minnesota, but at least you can still be liberal here and stand a chance of not being shot by some drawling asshat with the intelligence and maturity of a 10-year-old. I think that's selling the 10-year-old short, Jeanette. A white sheet under the bed and a Confederate flag and honk if you love Jesus and God hates fags bumper stickers on their truck. And then Jeanette says, I take that back. Lots of 10-year-olds, see? Lots of 10-year-olds have more intelligence and maturity than that guy. We have some honk if God hates people here. Confederate flags are very rare. I've only seen them on cars with out-of-state plates. I haven't seen any white sheets. Dog, Bob. She gets to choose between a bio dad like that and stepmom or bio mom stepdad. I can't imagine how bad he is if she chose to live with a bio dad like that instead. He was right. She's a lucky girl. I knew someone who lived in Texas and moved up here to get her daughter away from the abusive father. She said domestic abuse victims, women and children, are not protected and have no rights in Texas, so I'm not surprised by the kudos cop. That was Illinois, the kudos cop. Oh, no, the kudos cop. No, remember, this is North Carolina, Jeanette. It's not Texas. That was just me being wrong. I was judging based on dialect and pronunciations. But I was wrong. She was worried that her daughter would be forced to go back. I don't know what happened to them. I'm also not too surprised that so many viewers liked the video. I've read comments under YouTube videos that I couldn't believe. Insults with vulgar and violent language. Look at that police chief's kid who posted those awful comments about that kid who was hit by a train in your state. Violence are U.S. Guys like the Texas shooter, no, he's North Carolina, are why people from other countries hate us, not our so-called freedoms. We don't have many of those left now, do we? Jeanette asks. Now, a majority of Americans, including liberals and Democrats, approve of drone strikes on U.S. citizens. Whew. Thanks, Jeanette.
26 minutes past the hour. You know the phone number, right? 304-658-3333. I'm so sorry about the toll-free line, but we're working on getting it back. Some of it's budgetary. Some of it, well, it's all budgetary because we were trying to cut costs and solve some technical problems when we went to this new service. And we haven't gotten the toll-free thing sorted out yet. But this might be an appropriate time to mention that over the course of the last 2 hours and 26 minutes, we started out the program hoping to raise something on the order of $170, 17 $10 contributions to the program. Nothing. So the PayPal button's at headonradionetwork.com. BobKincaid@gmail.com is the PayPal address if you want to click personal and gift so as to avoid the PayPal transfer fees. Jim with a quick question. Remember the dad in Sling Blade who received brain surgery?
Some people call it. Some people call it a sling blade. I call it. Some people call it a banana blade. I call it a sling blade. Yeah, sure do like them fried potatoes.
Yeah. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Fritz.
Hey, you recognize my voice there?
I get better.
Well, you sound like you're still looking a little bit under the weather there.
Well, that or my sinuses are under a concrete mixer. You pick.
Well, I could tell tonight. I tell you, I saw this video the other day, and it was pretty disturbing. And there was an incident that happened yesterday, late last night. A gentleman in Little Rock, Arkansas, went to one of the Mississippi casinos, and the slot machine took some of his money. He couldn't get the money out of it, so he decided he was going to go Tommy Jordan on the slot machine.
Shot the machine.
Yeah, in Greenville, Mississippi.
I can't imagine they take any too kindly to that, Fritz.
Oh no, he's facing some several charges, and he could be going to be spending some time down at Parchman if he's convicted. Where they don't have slot machines.
No, there's not much in the way of entertainment down at Parchman that's not self-made.
No, if it's anything like Cummins, it ain't no country club prison.
Not in the least.
I know people who work at Cummins. It's not far from where I live at, about 30 miles, not even 30 miles away. And it lives up to its reputation.
Oh, there, yeah, Parchman horror stories. No, yeah.
Parchman, Cummins Prison Farm, Tucker.
Go a little west to Angola.
Yeah, that was where all the one of the things that was where the prisoners were doubled as guards, and that was a cost saving measure.
Well, speaking of prisons, I've got a story here you might find interesting, Fritz. they never let up. There's always something out there to make a big old profit off of. Oh, I got to find it real quick, but I know you'll just love it. Oh, here it is. Corrections Corporation of America. You're familiar with them, aren't you?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, the private prison megacorp.
Oh Lord.
Let's come at this with a full understanding of perspective. Among so-called industrialized first world nations, the United States kind of leads the way in terms of incarcerating its own population. 1 in 100 Americans is incarcerated in this country right now. Well, there's a reason for that, because it's good money. So the lead on this story, coming from Raw Story, says, in exchange for keeping at least a 90% occupancy rate, the private prison company Corrections Corporation of America has sent a letter to 48 states offering to manage their prisons for the low price of $250 million per year, according to a letter obtained by the Huffington Post.
The company says it's a way for states to help manage their current budget crisis. We believe this comes at a timely and helpful juncture and hope you will share our belief in the benefits of purchase and manage model. Well, Fritz, how are you going to keep that? How are you going to maintain that 90% occupancy rate and have anything resembling, equal protection of the law, due process?
Bob, it's real simple. You create laws to cause people to be incarcerated in the first place. History's repeating itself slowly and surely, because in the late 19th century, the South had a method of keeping the former slaves in their place, and the states couldn't run their prison system, so they decided to lease the prisoners to private contractors.
Right, essentially reinstituting slavery, and they used debt and the minor kerfuffles, anything to get somebody into the system and into the prison and out on the farm.
So instead of having the, sending the, some guy that got caught for stealing some clothes off a line or some other minor crime and sending him to the county work farm, which in Kyle they shipped him out to a private contractor who was a road contractor or a turpentine farm or a coal mine. Yes, that happened even in Arkansas. There were prisoners in the 1880s in Arkansas that worked in private coal mines barefoot and cold and were regularly beaten and just, unimaginable horrors. And it was because of that the prison, the convict leasing, that was a system that was called at the time, was done away with, and they were a little bit more humane and brought into prison farm. But we're basically turning back, repeating our own history.
We are turning, and I think that's an important observation, Fritz, because we're not just turning back the clock on that aspect. We're turning back the clock in so many ways. It's like what I was talking about with drug testing of workers, because it essentially says that the time that you're not being paid does not belong to you either. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you've got a legitimate, real live, honest to God pain med script, because I don't know, you just had your wisdom teeth out. That usually comes with a pain med script. Well, you can't pass a piss test with a belly full of hydrocodone. And that was your time, and there's no way to prove. It is impossible to prove, for instance, that if you took it on Friday and you go back to work on the following Tuesday, well, it's no longer affecting your performance, but it is still in your bloodstream, and therefore the management can use that to twist the screws on you.
Yeah, and it happens all the time. We've got, I hate to change the subject here, but we've got a little situation happening down here in Southeast Arkansas, and something that you're somewhat familiar with a twist. See, we have the mayor of the little town I live next to. He's got ambitions to run for the Arkansas legislature, and he is a quote Democrat, but he's a very conservative Democrat.
Well, got some family values, does he?
Oh yeah. He went and spoke. He got invited to speak to the Southeast Arkansas Tea Party last night, and I pulled an article up just a few minutes ago and read it. And he was, in fact, I posted one of the article to your Facebook wall.
Excellent.
Anyway, I did comment on the article on Facebook. But anyway, with the Jeff, there is this deposit of lignite all over Southeast Arkansas, and he thinks that is the key to economic development in Southeast Arkansas. All this worthless, dirty coal, lignite coal that you can't give away, but somehow that might be find a way to make fuel out of and sell. And in the meantime, destroy the environment of.
Oh, it won't be fit to live in. You know, I think it's very. You might want to just by way of maybe providing some education for your fellow Arkansans, Fritz. You can go to crmw.net, and there are posted all the health data studies about what mountaintop removal does to communities. And a lot of this stuff is probably transferable, if you know what I mean. So it's a way of, you know, hand these things out at a community meeting and say, this is what's coming to us. Because it poisons the water, it poisons the air, it poisons babies in the womb, and in a place like Arkansas, it's a great opportunity to talk about the sanctity of life and the unborn. And you know, when I do the accent, I do it with love in my heart.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Of course, these people don't realize that, you know, we start getting a bunch of tailing ponds over in this field and have the ground ripped up and the water poison. It's going to destroy the habitat of the deer. And this is where you can.
Well, yeah, and it's going to destroy the habitat of the humans, Fritz. That's the point.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. These clowns don't even think about. So they think, when you start hitting them with oh my gosh, then they start thinking.
Yeah, I remember many a trip across the bridge there in Memphis to West Memphis and up I-55. Heading back when I was going to school in Missouri. So, I think I know generally the region you're talking about. And let me guess, the thing they talk about, it's going to bring jobs.
Exactly. Yeah, jobs.
J-A-W-B-Z-Z-Z, jobs.
I forgot to spell when I spelled the word job. I forgot to spell, I spelled, instead of a Z, I put an S down. And I can't change it now, but I got the spelling almost right on that. I mean, but this is the mentality that I live in, and people that live in, you know, live in the upper Midwest or New England or, you know, listeners in California, or, you know, they may not say, it is like this here. It is like this here. And when you talk about living behind the cornbread curtain, it's for real. It's definitely for real.
Well, I'm glad to have that affirmation from you because it's a quick sort of mental image kind of, but it's like being in a different world, isn't it?
It is, and I spent a week a few years ago in New England, and I was in culture shock up there. But I was born here. I lived here. I probably didn't get a chance to really move around a lot, but I know how things are here, and I just see.
It's familiar and it's comfortable and.
It's comfortable, and there's a lot of good things here in Arkansas, but I also see what's bad, and it
inspires you to work, doesn't it, Fritz? I mean, that's kind
of. I've decided I'm not going to just sit here and just run. They're going to have to run me out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just give up.
And you're not going to sit there and be quiet.
You know, if they would love for you to just sit there, well, you just be a good little. Just be a good little Arkansan and say we'll pick suey and just take it and everything will be all right and believe everything that Channel 7 says as the gospel truth and everything in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette as being the gospel truth. Oh, I will tell you something else too before I go about some of our how whacked our culture is here. We had a letter to the editor in the Little Rock newspaper on Saturday. I was eating lunch. I was at work. I was working Saturday, and I went to a lunch break. Went to a local cafe, and they had a copy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, which is the Little Rock daily newspaper.
Right.
And I was thumbing through the paper and looked at the letters, the editorial and the letters, the editor section, and there's quite a few of, very conservative letter writers that.
Oh, aren't there always?
Like to just camp out over there. And I read this old boy. He was all head up about a new ABC show called The River, which had all sorts of bleeped profanity. And then he listed, and then he started on his, well, how wonderful things were in the 50s when, even though we had we were using coat hangers for antennas, we had all these great shows. He listed all these shows and actors from these shows, and among them was Liberace. I don't think the guy was
I wish my brother George was here.
That was almost a mini Moran Monday nomination.
No, listen, I get more pleasure out of reading right-wing comments absolutely. And it's so fun when they get morally indignant. Sandra sent me a story last night after the show that sort of had "what the" written all over it, and it jumped out at me because it's from my old stomping grounds. It has to do, Fritz, with a place called Stanfield Steakhouse, putting our name at stake, S-T-E-A-K. Ain't that funny?
Oh, yeah.
And it comes from Colbert County, Alabama. And Stanfield Steakhouse is at Ford City. Now, the background behind Ford City is that once upon a time, Henry Ford tried to purchase the Wilson Dam from the federal government because everything that became Ford in Detroit, Michigan, was going to be Ford. It wasn't going to be in Detroit. It was going to be in the northwest corner of Alabama. And he laid out sidewalks and subdivisions and built buildings, and then the government refused to sell him Wilson Dam because it came to its senses and realized that the whole purpose behind building Wilson Dam, namely to create flood control and provide hydroelectric power so that folks there could have some sort of a life, you know, more of that government intervention in people's private lives, you know, that the right wingers are always complaining about. Well, it all fell through, so Ford City fell through. But Muscle Shoals, Alabama, for those familiar with Detroit, will not be at all lost because the two main drags in Muscle Shoals are Woodward Avenue and Avalon Avenue. Okay? He was literally templating Detroit onto Alabama because he knew that he would have an easier time with his workforce down there because they wouldn't have the guts or gumption to unionize. But anyway, that's all beside the point. That's just the locus of the story. Stanfield's restaurant, a fellow went to have dinner. His name was Keenan Porter. He was eating lunch at Stanfield's with friends. And when he got his receipt, he picked it up, and lo and behold, the N-word was written on it. And, of course, he went right to the management and said, "What is this?" Now, this is 2012, right? I mean, this isn't 1961. And so he now says he's afraid to go back to the restaurant because he doesn't know what'd be done to his food. They queried the management of Stanfield's restaurant, and here's the answer they got. Well, it didn't have anything to do with the customers. It was a joke between employees, is what it was. In 2012, Fritz, I kid you not, that is offered as a justification for writing a vicious, racist epithet on a receipt at a restaurant that serves the public.
in Alabama. Well, it had nothing to do with the N word over there, Mr. Porter. It had to do with a joke between employees. You see.
Oh, and they're going to claim that they were taken out of context.
That's probably next.
Yeah, that's predictable.
Now, it was a joke between employees, but management did tell the TV station WAFF Channel 48 Huntsville Decatur that the waiter who wrote the N-word on the ticket had been fired for that joke between employees. Yeah. So I understand everything you're describing in Arkansas because, well, what is it? From there in Colbert County, I reckon it's about, oh, maybe, 150 miles into West Memphis? Yeah, I know. Well, Fritz, it's awful good to hear from you, brother.
Well, you take care of yourself.
I'm going to. And by the way, we had a note in from David in Tennessee. What you were talking about with the prisoner leasing. He said anybody that wants to know more about that ugly piece of history, what you were describing. Can watch Slavery by Another Name. It aired on PBS last night and can be Googled up real easy-like.
I didn't know it aired last night. I had no idea. I was kind of out of the loop.
Well, it's worth it. I saw a little bit of it, but not all of it, but it's a magnificent piece of documentary.
Is it posted on PBS's website?
I think you'd find it there, PBS.org.
I'll have to take a look at that, definitely. Okay. Take care, and as I say over here, hunker down.
Hunker down, that's right.
Nothing to do with the Georgia Bulldogs.
No, we hate them. We hate them.
Okay.
Suey, Fritz.
Bye.
Bye now. It's never not a good time to talk about college football when you got a couple of, you got to understand. I mean, you just do. How about that? Jim noting Henry Ford also did the same thing in Brazil on the upper Amazon in search of rubber trees for his tires. That one turned out to be another no-go, too. Thanks, Jim. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, Bob.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
All right, I just sent you one of them there emails. I can't
remember. I got that there email.
I don't know. I'm just in shock, not that he did that, but that nobody did anything about it. Like I said in that email, correct me if I'm wrong, don't they have, most counties, even rural counties, have a law against shooting a gun in an occupied dwelling?
We have a statute on the books here in the state of West Virginia that penalizes discharging a firearm within 500 feet of a dwelling.
Yep. And so if those police officers didn't charge him, well, I think I'd be asking the chief why he wasn't charged criminally. And then, as I said in the email, there is one thing we head honors can do. Those of you in North Carolina, you can call your Department of Human Services and complain very loudly about the fact that nothing was done to get this child out of that situation. Because I've seen one too many TV programs about children that grow up like that end up shooting their parents, as it seems to them at the time the only way to get out of that situation.
Their parents themselves, some innocent at a cafeteria somewhere. Sure, I mean those are the butcher's bill stories that seem to grow like mushrooms after a spring rain. In this country because of our sick and twisted gun fetish.
And you got a six-year-old there on top of it. Who knows where that six-year-old, obviously I can't see, but where was that six-year-old during the shooting of the computer? He could have been hit by a ricochet, all sorts of things. I mean, you just go through your mind and say the what is that could have happened. And I just am stunned that nobody... supposedly the police officers and DHS went out there, but nobody took that child out of the home and put her in protective custody. You know, it just boggles my mind that at least...
But in North Carolina, Kevin, you would,
unless he had shot at her or shot her or pointed the gun at her, they're not going to do anything in North Carolina because, you know, well, they know that they would be immediately excoriated all over the state for an out-of-control activist bunch of liberal sissies out there infringing on that man's God-given right to keep armed bears under the Second Amendment.
Yep.
I mean, you know, right? I mean, I use the accent, and I kid around. But that's the script, Kevin. It really is. This really is life, as Fritz was affirming. This really is what life is like behind the cornbread curtain.
Yep. Yep. I grew up in the South, and when I was a young child, very young, similar things happened, not in the home, where a family member would go out and a dog, we had animals, farm animals, and occasionally the dogs would get through the fence and try to get at the farm animals. And so, you know, we're talking a 4 or 6-year-old kid, and you're sleeping peacefully, and all of a sudden you hear a gun blast go off in the middle of the night. You know, I'm sorry, but things like that traumatize children. And granted, this girl's 15, but that had to still be traumatizing to her to watch the old man shoot the computer and wonder.
Well, no. Well, after the fact, Kevin, remember, this guy's a real brave hero type. And he made sure to do it while she wasn't around.
Yeah, okay.
And let her view it after the fact.
Well, that's even worse because, as you said, it's a ritual killing in essence. What he's saying to her is, you could be next. Today it's your computer, tomorrow it could be you.
Yeah.
And thank God my parents weren't like that. Like I said, you know, there were times I was woken up in the middle of the night like that, but at least it wasn't in the house and it wasn't aimed at me, and, you know, and that.
But even with all of those caveats, Kevin, it was disturbing. Here you are far further along in your life, and you darn sure still remember it.
Yep.
And it didn't make you a better person, did it?
No. You know,
I mean, I'm not trying to be nosy or anything, but it sounds to me like you're saying it didn't.
No, I don't know that it necessarily made me worse, but the point I'm getting to, I guess, is to say that everything that happens at that age, 0 to 18, and especially the teenage years are so traumatic anyway for any teenager. You know, you go through your ups and downs, your peaks and valleys, and for your old man to sit there and show you shooting the computer and intimating that you could be next, you know, what's this poor girl, what is this girl thinking when she goes to school? You know, what is she going to do if DHS and the police did nothing to intervene in that situation? Possibly what could be in her mind? And the first thing that comes to my mind is she's going to be looking for love and attention from somebody, and that somebody might turn out to be another teenage boy, and she looks to be rescued from the situation she's in, only to get in a worse situation.
Well, you know, Kevin, not to make light or too light of the situation, but it's been pretty heavy. We probably deserve a giggle. Agnes reminded me of this ad that's running on TV right now, and... You know, it's surprisingly accurate under the circumstances. Just check this audio out.
When your cable's on the fritz, you get frustrated. When you get frustrated, your daughter imitates. When your daughter imitates, she gets thrown out of school. When she gets thrown out of school, she meets undesirables. When she meets undesirables, she ties the knot with undesirables. And when she ties the knot with undesirables, you get a grandson with a dog collar. Don't have a grandson with a dog collar. Get rid of cable and upgrade to direct.
Kind of applicable, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I just can't believe that no one has done anything. And maybe the publicity will encourage someone to act, because this family is in need of counseling. The father taking it, him being made out to be a hero, is the most troubling part of it to me. You know, because somebody already said it. You're, I'm drawing a blank on his name now, but instead of using words going postal, he used that guy's name.
Yeah, going Tommy Jordan.
Right. And that's kind of the wrong message we want to send to people, isn't it? We don't.
We don't want to. We don't. Well, yeah, and this guy being a right-wing creep, we don't want to glorify him. Hey, Kevin, I'm up against it and out of time, but I sure do appreciate the call, and we will talk soon, okay? Thanks for everything.
Okay, Bob.
All right.
Yep, take care.
All right, bye now. Something else Kevin added in his email, he said, and I want to let you know that five of those 17 slots in the Thrifty 250 have been filled, 12 more, and we're done for the evening. Thank you very much to the two of you who did that. He said, one idea... If all head-on listeners today donated just $1 every time they listen, maybe they can't send 30 or even 10, but we all, most of us anyway, spend $7 in a month for fast food or other junk that we don't need. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much. And that audio, I'll send you a link, Kevin. I will send you a link. Can I read this? Can I read this on air, Ray? No, I better not. I'll get in trouble, or you'll get in, we'll all get in trouble. I'm not going to do that. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in and tolerating my icky soundingness. Surely this will be gone sometime soon, and don't call me Shirley. Back tomorrow night for prayer meeting Wednesday. Hope you'll be here. Thank you again for the kind support that keeps this on the air. Thank you for your ideas, your conversation, your suggestions, everything that comes in via email, the phone lines, the chat room, what have you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, our chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thank you to our op-ed columnist, Reverbo, my head writer, David, in Tennessee. Thanks to John Fox. Thanks to Bruce Burt. Ben Birch, where'd that come from? I was thinking about North Carolina. Hi, Bruce. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and Coal River Wind, the Coal River Wind Project. Go there, access the health data, access everything you need to know about becoming active in the struggle to end the Appalachian apocalypse. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Cussin' and a discussin' with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!